The Spoken Word.
Ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company has the pleasure to present Mr. John Barrymore in the last of a series of plays by William Shakespeare. Tonight, Mr. Barrymore will be heard in Shakespeare's most famous domestic comedy, The Taming of the Shrew. The role of Petruchio in The Taming of the Shrew is a choice part, and one much enjoyed by every actor who plays it, among whom is Mr. Barrymore himself, who essays the part tonight for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Barrymore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Whitman. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that to the actor, most of the plays of Shakespeare demand the necessity of infinite study, tireless analysis, and patient labor in order to bring them to, bring to flower the character which this master of human emotions set forth in his more than fluid pen. Petruchio, if I may use the expression, is a fun part, as is Catherine. And these roles, the players are allowed full stage for their antics. And Mr. Whitman will set the scene for the first act of The Taming of the Shrew. Oh, by the way, it's as if Shakespeare had said Hamlet is difficult. Macbeth is tense. Richard III is slightly exhausting. And now I give you Petruchio and Catherine. Enjoy yourselves. And we propose to do just that, naturally hoping that we shall share our enjoyment with you, the audience.
In Padua lived the rich Baptista and his two daughters, the lovely Bianca and Catherine the Shrew. The lovely Bianca was loved by three men, Lucentio, Remio, and Hortensio. But the father made solemn declaration that there should be no marrying his youngest daughter, Bianca, until a husband had been found for the violent and tempestuous yet beautiful Catherine. After this explosion of their hopes, the three suitors stand talking together in the street before Baptista's house.
And so, Signor Grimio, that we may yet again have access to our fair mistress and be happy rivals in Bianca's love, it toucheth us to labor and effect one thing specially.
What's that, I pray?
Marry, sir, to get a husband for her sister.
A husband? A devil?
I say a husband.
I say a devil. Thinkest thou, Hortensio, though her father be very rich, any man is so very a fool to be married to hell? I had as lief take her dowry with this condition, to be whipped at High Cross every morning.
Since this bar and law makes us friends, it shall be so friendly maintained. Till, by helping Baptista's eldest daughter to a husband, we set his youngest daughter free for a husband, and then have two at a fresh. How say you, Signor Grimio?
I am grateful.
Help us, children! My master is mad!
Hark when I bat you, sir, villain, or I'll knock your knave's pate.
Help us, help!
Shall I be gone or talk not, I advise you.
Petruchio, patience. And now tell me, sweet friend, what happy gale blows you to Padua here from old Verona?
Such a wind that scatters young men through the world. Antonio, my father, is deceased, and I have thrust myself into this maze haply to wive and thrive as best I may.
Petruchio, shall I then come roundly to thee and wish thee to a shrewd, ill-favored wife? Thou'd thank me but a little for my counsel, and yet I'll promise thee she shall be rich, and very rich. But thou art too much, my friend. I'll not wish thee to her.
If thou know one rich enough to be Petruchio's wife, be she as foul as what Florentius is love, as old as Sibyl and as cursed and shrewd as Socrates and Pippi, or a worse, she moves me not, or not removes at least affections edging me. Were she as rough as other swelling Adriatic seas, I come to wave it wilfully in Padua.
If wilfully, then happily in Padua.
Petruchio, since we are stepped thus far in, I will continue that I broached in jest. I can, Petruchio, help thee to a wife with wealth enough and young and beauteous. Her only fault is that she is intolerable cursed and shrewd and forward. So beyond all measure that I would not wed her for a mine of gold.
Tell me her father's name and 'tis enough.
Her father is Baptista Manola. Her name is Catherine Manola, renowned in Padua for her scolding tongue.
I will not sleep, Hortensio, till I see her.
Oh, sir, such a life with such a wife were strange. But if you have a stomach, to it, in God's name. You shall have me assisting you in all. But, sir, will you woo this wildcat?
Why came I hither but to that intent? Think you a little din can daunt mine ears? Have I not in my time heard lions roar? Have I not heard the sea puffed up with winds, rage like an angry boar, chafed with sweat? Have I not heard great ordnance in the field, and heaven's artillery thunder in the sky? Have I not in pictured battle learned loud alarum, neighing steeds and trumpets clang? And do you tell me of a woman's tongue that gives not half so great a blow to the ear as will a chestnut in a farmer's fire? And therefore let me be thus bold with you, to give you over at this first encounter, unless you will accompany me thither.
Scene 2. At the house of Signor Baptista Minola.
Wrong me not, nor wrong yourself to make a bondmaid and a slave of me. That I disdain. But for these other goods, unbind my hands. I'll pull them off myself. Oh, yea, all my raiment to my petticoat. Oh, what you will command me will I do. So well I know my duty to my elders.
Of all thy suitors, here I charge thee, tell whom thou lovest best. See thou dissemble not.
Believe me, sister. Of all the men alive, I never yet beheld that special face, which I could fancy more than any other.
Minion, thou liest. Is it not Hortensio?
If you affect him, sister, here I swear I'll plead for you myself. But you shall have him.
Oh, then belike you fancy riches more. You will have Grimio to keep you fair.
Is it for him you do envy me so? Nay, then you jest. And now I well perceive you have but jested with me all this while. I prithee, Sister Kate, untie my hands.
Oh. If that be jest, then all the rest were so.
Why, how now, dame? Whence grows this insolence? Bianca, stand aside. Poor girl, she weak. Go ply thy needle and meddle not with her. For shame, thou low wretch of a devilish spirit. Why didst thou wrong her that did ne'er wrong thee? When did she cross thee with a bitter word?
Her silence flouts me, and I'll be revenged.
What? In my sight? Bianca, get thee in.
What? Will you not suffer me? Huh. Nay, now I see. She is your treasure. She must have a husband. I must dance barefoot on our wedding day, and for your love to her, lead apes in hell. Talk not to me. I will go sit and weep, till I can find occasion of revenge.
Was ever gentleman thus grieved as I? But who comes here?
Good morrow, neighbor Baptista.
Good morrow, neighbor Grimio. God save you, gentlemen.
And you, good sir. Pray you, have you not a daughter called Catherine? Fair and virtuous?
I have a daughter, sir, called Catherine.
Oh, you are too blunt, Petruchio. Go to it ordinarily.
You wrong me, Senor Grimio. Give me leave. I am a gentleman of Verona, sir. But hearing of her beauty and her wit, her affability and bashful modesty, her wondrous qualities and mild behavior, I'm bold to show myself a forward guest within your house, to make mine eye the witness of that report which I so oft have heard.
You are welcome, sir. But for my daughter Catherine, this I know. She is not for your turn, the more my grief.
I see you do not mean to part with her, or else you like not of my company.
Mistake me not. I speak but as I find. Whence are you, sir? What may I call your name?
Petruccio is my name, Antonio's son, a man well known throughout all Italy.
I know him well. You are welcome for his sake.
Petruccio, I pray, let a poor petitioner speak too. Baccalaureo, marvelous forward.
Pardon, Signor Grimio, I would fain be doing. Signor Battista, my business asketh haste, and every day I cannot come to woo. I am as peremptory as she is proud-minded. And where two raging fires meet together, they do consume the thing that feeds their fury. So I to her, and she yields to me. For I am rough, and woo not like a babe.
Well mayest thou woo, and happy be thy speed. But be thou armed for some unhappy words.
Aye to the proof. As mountains are for winds that shake not, though they blow perpetually.
Gentlemen, go with me and be not so discomfited. Proceed in practice with my younger daughter. Signor Petruccio, will you go with us, or shall I send my daughter Kate to you?
I pray you do, sir.
Aye, aye, come on.
I will attend her here and woo her with some spirit when she comes. Say she rails? Why, then I'll tell her plain she sings as sweetly as a nightingale. Say that she frowns. I'll say she looks as clear as morning roses, newly washed with dew. Say she is mute and will not speak a word. Then I'll commence her volubility. And say she uttereth piercing eloquence. If she do bid me pack, I'll give her thanks, as though she bade me stay by her a week. If she deny to wed, I'll crave the day when I shall ask the banns and when be married.
Get out of my way, fool!
Ah, but here she comes. Good morrow, Kate, for that's your name, I hear.
Well, have you heard? But something hard of hearing. They call me Catherine that do talk of me.
No, you lie, Faith, for you are called plain Kate and bonny Kate and sometimes Kate the Cursed. But Kate, the prettiest Kate in Christendom, Kate of Kate Hall, my super dainty Kate, for dainties are all Kates, and therefore, Kate, take this of me, Kate of my consolation. Hearing thy mildest praise in every town, thy virtue spoke of and thy beauty sounded, myself am moved to woo thee for me wife.
Let him that moved you hither remove you hence.
Alas, good Kate, I will not burden thee. For knowing thee to be but young and light.
Too light for such a swain as you to catch, one of you.
Well, come, you waspy, faith, you are too angry.
If I be waspish, best be where my sting.
My remedy, then, is to pluck it out. Good Kate, I am a gentleman.
That I'll try.
And I'll swear I'll cuff you if you strike again. Nay, come, Kate, come, you must not look so sour.
It is my fashion when I see a crab.
Why, there's no crab, and therefore look not sour.
There is.
Then show it me.
Had I a glass, I would.
What? You mean my face?
Well aimed for such a young one.
Nay, hear me, Kate. I find you passing gentle. 'Twas told me you were rough and coy and sullen. And now I find report a very liar. For thou art pleasant, gamesome, passing courteous, but slow in speech, yet sweet as springtime flowers. Why does the world report that Kate doth limp? Oh, slanderous world. Kate, like the hazel twig, is straight and slender, and as brown in hue as hazelnuts, and sweeter than the kernels.
Where did you study all this goodly speech?
Oh, let me see thee walk. Thou dost not halt.
Go, fool, and whom thou keepest, come
on. Did ever Dian so become a grove as Kate this chamber with her princely gait? And therefore, setting all this chat aside, this in plain terms, your father hath consented that you shall be my wife. Your dowry, greed on. And will you, nill you, I will marry. We must be married, and you must be married to no man but me, for I am born to tame you, Kate, and bring you from a wild Kate to a Kate conformable as other household Kates. Here comes your father. Never make denial. I must and will have Catherine to be wife.
Now, Signor Petruccio, house.
Here comes your father. Never make denial. I must and will have Catherine to be wife.
Now, Signor Petruchio, how speed you with my daughter?
How but well, sir, how but well? It were impossible I should speed, miss.
Why, how now, daughter Catherine, in your dumps?
Call you me daughter? Now, I promise you, you have shown a tender, fatherly regard to wish me wed to one half lunatic, a madcap ruffian and a swearing jack that thinks with oaths to face the matter out.
Father, 'tis thus. Yourself and all the world that talked of her have talked amiss of her. If she be cursed, it is for policy. For she's not forward, but modest as the dove. She is not hot, but temperate as the morn. For patience, she will prove a second Gristle and Roman Lucrece for her chastity. And to conclude, we have agreed so well together that upon Sunday is the wedding day.
I'll see thee hanged on Sunday first.
Hark, Petruchio, she says she'll see thee hanged first.
Is this your speeding? Nay, then, good night, our part.
Be patient, gentlemen. I choose her for myself. If she and I be pleased, what's that to you? The bargain twixt us twain being alone, that she shall still be cursed in company. I tell you, 'tis incredible to believe how much she loves me. Oh, the kindest Kate! She hung about my neck and kiss on kiss. She vied so fast, protesting oath on oath that in a twink she won me to her love. Oh, you are novices to the world to see how tame when men and women are alone. A meacock wretch can make the cursed shrew. Give me thy hand, Kate.
I will unto Venice to buy apparel against the wedding day. Provide the feast, father, and bid the guests. I will be sure my Catherine shall be fine.
Well, I know not what to say. God send you joy, Petruchio, to the match.
Amen, save we. We will be witnesses.
Father and wife and gentlemen, adieu. I will to Venice. Sunday comes apace. We will have rings and things and fine array.
And kiss me, Kate. We will be married a Sunday.
Thus begins the mad matrimonial intentions of the proud Petruchio for the shrewish Kate, a stream that runs not smooth, nor does the course of true love for Catherine's sister Bianca run all too true. Her suitors vie for her favors now that they believe she is attainable. Two of these are rich. The third, Lucentio, though preferred, is handicapped by lack of money. And in order that he may woo the beautiful Bianca, whilst the others curry favor with her father, he exchanges places with his servant, Tranio, and gets himself employed as Bianca's music teacher. Our scene begins now on the fatal Sunday, which shall see the nuptials of Kate and Petruchio. The scene is laid before the house of Baptista, where everyone is ready for the wedding save Petruchio, who thus far has made no appearance.
Signor Lucentio, this is the appointed day that Catherine and Petruchio should be married, and yet we hear not of our son-in-law. What will be said? What mockery will it be to want the bridegroom when the priest attends to speak the ceremonial rites of marriage?
This is no shame but mine. I must, forsooth, be forced to give my hand, opposed against my heart, to a mad-brained Rudesby full of spleen, who wooed in haste and means to wed at leisure. I told you he was a frantic fool. Now must the world point at poor Catherine and say, lo, there is mad Petruchio's wife. If it please him, come and marry her.
Patience, good Catherine, and Baptista, too. On my life, Petruchio means but well. Whatever fortune stays him from his word, though he be blunt, I know him passing wise. Though he be merry, yet withal he's honest.
Would Catherine had never seen him, though.
Go, girl, to the church, and mingle tears with prayers. I cannot blame thee now to weep, for such an injury would vex a very saint.
Master, master, news, old news, and such news as you never heard of.
Is it new and old? How may that be?
Why, is it not news to hear of Petruchio's coming?
Is he come?
Why, no, sir.
What then?
He's coming.
When will he be here?
When he stands where I am and sees you there.
What to thine old news?
Why, Petruchio's coming in a new hat and an old jerk and a pair of old breeches thrice turned and a pair of boots that have been candle cases, one buckled, the other laced. An old rusty sword taken out of the town armory with a broken hilt and two broken points. His horse hipped with an old mothy saddle and stirrups of no kindred. His lackey with a linen stock on one leg and a cursy boot horse on the other, guarded with red and blue list. An old hat. And the humor of 40 fancies picked into for a feather. A monster. A very monster in apparel.
Tis some odd humor pricks him to this fashion.
I'm glad he's come. Howsoe'er he come.
Where is the life of me, my lips? Where are the lips that were so red? Where is Kate? Where is my lovely bride? How does my father?
You are welcome, sir.
Gentles, methinks you frown, and wherefore gaze this goodly company? As if I saw some wondrous monument.
Why, sir, you know this is your wedding day. Fie, doff this habit. Shame to your estate. An eyesore to our solemn festival.
And tell us, what occasion of import hath all so long detained you from your wife and sent you hither so unlike yourself?
Tedious it were to tell and harsh to hear. Suffice it, I am come to keep my word. But where is Kate? I stay too long from her. The morning wears. 'Tis time we were at church.
See not your bride in these unreverent robes. Go to my chamber. Put on clothes of mine.
Have done with words. To me she's married, not of any clothes. But I repair what she will wear in me as I change these poor accoutrements. 'Twere well for Kate and better for myself. But what a fool I am to chat with you when I should bid good morrow to my bride and seal the title with a lovely kiss.
Signor Grimio, came you from the church?
As willingly as ere I came from school. I'll tell you, sir, when the priest should ask if Catherine should be his wife, aye, by God's wound, quoth he, and swore so loud that all amazed the priest let fall the book. And as he stooped again to take it up, the mad-brained groom took him such a cuff that down fell priest and book, and book and priest.
What said the wench?
Trembled and shook. For why, he stamped and swore as if the vicar meant to cousin him. But after many ceremonies done, he called for wine. A health, quoth he, as if he'd been aboard carousing with his mates after a storm. Quaffed off the muscadel and threw the sopsall in the sexton's face. This done, he took the bride about the neck and kissed her lips with such a clamorous smack that at the parting all the church did echo.
Gentlemen and friends, I thank you for your pain. I know how you think to dine with me today, but so it is my haste that call me hence, and therefore here I mean to take my leave.
Is it possible you will away tonight?
I must away today before night come. I thank you all that have beheld me give away myself to this most patient, sweet, and virtuous wife. Dine with my father. Drink a health to me, for I must hence. And a farewell to you all.
Let us entreat you stay till after dinner.
It may not be.
Let me entreat you.
It cannot be.
Let me entreat you.
I am content.
Are you content to stay?
I am content you shall entreat me to stay. Yet not stay. Entreat me how you can.
Now, if you love me, stay.
Grimio, my heart.
Nay, then do what thou canst. I will not go today, nor tomorrow, not till I please myself. The door is open, sir. There lies your way. For me, I'll not be done till I please myself.
Oh, Kate, content thee. Prithee, be not angry.
I will be angry. He shall stay my leisure.
Aye, marry, sir, now it begins to work.
Gentlemen, forward to the bridal dinner. I see a woman may be made a fool if she have not a spirit to resist.
Obey the bride, you that attend on her. Go to the feast. Revel and domineer. Carouse full measure. Or go hang yourselves. But for my bonny Kate, she must with me. Nay, look not so big, nor stamp, nor stare, nor fret. I will be master of what is mine own. She is my goods, my chattels. She is my house, my household stuff, my field, my barn, my horse, my ox, my anything. And there she stands. Touch her, whoever dare. Fear not, sweet wench. They shall not touch thee, Kate.
I'll buckler thee against a minion.
The mad Petruchio carries Catherine to his home, where our next scene opens as his servants await their arrival.
Welcome home, Grumio. Welcome you.
How now, Grumio?
What, Grumio? What, you?
Fellow Grumio.
Fellow you. Thus much for greeting. Now, my spruce companions, is all ready and all things neat?
All things is ready. How near is our master?
Ready, he's near.
In at hand, alighted by this.
What? No man to hold my stirrup nor to take my horse. Where is Nathaniel? Gregory! Come in!
Here, sir.
You logger-headed and unpolished grooms. What, no attendance, no regard, no duty? Go, rascals! Go and fetch my supper in.
Where is the life that late I led? Where are the lips that were so red?
Where? Sit down, Kate, and welcome to my house. Why? Nay, good sweet Jake, be merry. Off with my boots, you rogues, you villains. When? Why, when I say? Ha! You rogue, you pluck my foot awry. Take that, and mend the plucking of the other. Be merry, Kate. Some water here. Where are my slippers? Shall I have some water?
Here, my lord.
Come, Kate, and wash, and welcome heartily. Be you blasted villain! Will you let it fall?
Patience, I pray you. 'Twas a fault unwilling.
A stupid, beetle-headed, flap-eared knave. Come, Kate, sit down. I know you have a stomach. Will you give thanks, sweet Kate, or else shall I? What's this? Mutton?
I?
Who brought it?
I?
'Tis burnt, and so is all this meat. Here, take it, you.
Hello! I pray you, husband, be not so disquiet. The meat was well if you were so contented.
I tell thee, Kate, was burnt and dried away, and I am expressly forbid to touch it, for it engendereth choler, planteth anger, and better 'twere that both of us did fast, since of ourselves are choleric. Be patient, tomorrow it shall be mended, and for this night, we'll fast in company. Come, I'll bring thee to thy bridal chamber.
Thus, the good Petruchio, in his own inevitable manner, embarks upon the rough voyage of matrimony with Kate, using wild methods to tame a wilder woman. So whilst he roars and bellows about his house, Bianca, Kate's lovely younger sister, is rid of her other suitors, and with Licentio elopes and is married. Licentio assumes his rightful role again, and the play gallops merrily along. Petruchio now is minded to return with his wife on a visit. Catherine, cheated out of every meal by her husband's pretended temper, sits in her room, wishing for food and conniving to obtain it. As our next scene opens, we find Catherine attempting to bribe Petruchio's servant, Grumio.
No, no, forsooth, I dare not for my life.
The more my wrong, the more his spite appears. What? Did he marry me to famish me? I prithee, go and get me some repast. I care not what. So it be wholesome food.
What say you to a neat's foot?
'Tis passing good. I prithee let me have it.
I fear it is too choleric a meat. How say you to a fat tripe finely broiled?
I like it well. Good Grumio, well. Good Grumio, well. Good Grumio, fetch it me.
I cannot tell. I fear it is choleric. What say you to a piece of beef and mustard?
A dish I do love to feed upon.
Aye, but the mustard is too hot a little.
Why, then the beef and let the mustard rest.
Nay, then I will not. You shall have the mustard, or else you get no beef of Grumio. It is too hot a little.
Why, then the beef and let the mustard rest.
Nay, then I will not. You shall have the mustard, or else you get no beef of Grumio.
Then both, or one, or anything thou wilt.
Why, then the mustard without the beef?
Go, get thee gone, thou false, deluding slave.
How fares my case? I bring thee meat, dear love. Thou seest how diligent I am to dress the meat myself and bring it thee. But not a word. Nay, then thou lovest it not. Here, take this dish away.
I pray you, let it stand.
The poorest service is repaid with thanks, and so shall mine before you touch the meat.
I thank you, sir.
Katie DePace, now, my honey love, we will return unto your father's house and revel it bravely as the rest. With silken coats and caps and golden rings, with ruffs and cuffs and farthingales and things. What hast thou dined? The tailor stays thy leisure to deck thy body with his ruffling measure. Come, tailor, let's see these ornaments.
Here's the cap your worship did bespeak.
Why, it is molded on a porringer,
a velvet dish.
Ha! Tis lewd and filthy. Tis a cockle or a walnut shell. A knack, a toy, a trick,
a baby's cap.
Away with it. Come, let me have a bigger.
I'll have no bigger. This just fits the ton, and gentlewomen wear such caps as these.
When you are gentle, you shall have one, too. It is a paltry cap, a custard coffin, a bauble, a silken tie. I love thee well, and that thou likest it not.
Love me or love me not, I like the cap, and yet I will have or I will have none.
My gown. Come, tailor, let's see it.
What squatting stuff is here? What's this? A sleeve? It's like a demi-cannon. What in the devil's name, tailor, calls you this?
You bid me make it orderly and well, according to the fashion of the time.
Marian did. But if you be remembered, I did not bid you mar it to the time. I'll none of it.
I never saw a better fashioned gown.
The gown is made just as my master had direction.
Thou flea, thou nit. Thou winter cricket, thou. Braved in my own house with a skein of thread. Away, thou rag! Thou quantity! Thou remnant, I tell thee, I, that thou art murder gout!
Oh.
Well, come, me, Kate. We will unto your father's house. Bring our horses unto Long Lane Inn. There will we mount and give a walk on foot. Let's see, it is now some 7 o'clock, and will me come there in time? Well, by dinner time.
I dare assure you, sir, 'tis almost 2, and 'twill be supper time ere you come there.
It shall be 7 ere I go to horse. Look what I speak or do or think to do, you are still crossing it. I will not go today. And ere I do, it shall be what o'clock I say it is. Once more toward your father. Good Lord, how bright and goodly shines the moon.
The moon? The sun? It is not moonlight now.
I say it is the moon that shines so bright.
I know it is the sun that shines so bright.
Now by my mother's sun, and that's myself, it shall be moon or star or what I list, or ere I journey to your father's house. Go and put your horses back again. Ever more crossed and crossed. Nothing but cross.
Stay as he says, or we shall never go.
Forward, I pray, since we have come so far. And be it moon or sun or what you please. And if you please to call it a rush candle. Henceforth, I vow it shall be so for me.
I say it is the moon.
I know it is the moon.
Nay, then you lie. It is the blessed sun.
Then God be blessed. It is the blessed sun. But sun it is not when you say it is not. And the moon changes even with your mind. What you will have it named, even that it is. And so it shall be for Catherine.
Go forward, forward! The field is won! First kiss me, Kate, and we will go.
What? In the midst of the street?
What? Art thou ashamed of me?
No, sir, God forbid.
But ashamed to kiss.
Well, then let's home again. Come, sinner, let's away.
Nay, I will give thee a kiss. Now, pray thee, love, go.
Forward. Come, my sweet kiss. Better once than never, for never too late.
Scene the last, at the home of Lucentio and his bride, Bianca.
How hast thou offended me, Lucentio?
Bianca's love made me exchange my state with Tranio, while he did bear my countenance in the town. And happily I have arrived at last unto the wished heaven of my bliss. Then pardon, sweet father, for my sake, that I have by marriage made thy daughter mine.
Have you married my daughter without asking my good will? But I forgive thee that.
Brother Petruchio, sister Catherine, and thou, Hortensio, with thy loving new-wed widow, feast with the best and welcome to my house. My banquet is to close our stomachs up after our great good cheer. Pray sit you down, for now we sit to chat as well as eat.
Nothing but sit and sit. And eat and eat.
Padua afford this kindness, son Petruchio.
Padua affords nothing but what is kind.
For both our sakes, I would that word were true. Now for my life, Hortensio fears his widow.
Now in good sadness, son Petruchio, I think thou hast the veriest shrew of all.
Well, I say no. And therefore for assurance, that each one send unto his wife. And he whose wife is most obedient to come at first when he doth send for her, shall win the wager, which we will propose.
Content. What is the wager?
20 crowns. 20 crowns? I'll venture so much upon my hawk or hound, but 20 times so much upon my wife.
100, then.
Content? Who shall begin?
That will I. Biondello, bid your mistress come to me.
I go.
Son, I'll be your half, Bianca, come.
I'll have no halves. I'll bear it all myself. Huh? How now? What news?
Sir, my mistress sends you word that she's busy and she cannot come.
How? She's busy and cannot come? Is that an answer?
Pray God, sir, your wife may send a word.
I hope better. Sirrah Biondello, go and entreat my wife to come to me forthwith.
Oh, entreat her? Then she must needs come.
I am afraid, sir, do what you can. Yours will not be entreated. Ah, where's my wife?
She will not come. She bids you come to her.
Oh, worse and worse. Intolerable. Not to be endured.
Sir Agromio, go to your mistress. Say I command her to come to me.
I know her answer. She will not.
Now, by my holiday, here comes Catherine.
What is your will, sir, that you send for me?
Where is your sister and Hortensio's wife?
They sit conferring by the parlor fire.
Go fetch them hither.
Here is a wonder, if you talk of a wonder.
So it is. I wonder what it bodes.
Marry, peace it bodes, and love, and quiet life. An awful rule and right supremacy. And to be short, what's not but sweet and happy?
Now fare befall thee, good Petruchio, the wager thou hast won. And I will add unto their losses 20,000 crowns, another dowry to another daughter, for she is changed. As she had never been.
Nay, I'll show thee more signs of her obedience. See where she comes and brings your forward wives as prisoners to a womanly persuasion. Catherine, that cap of yours becomes you not. Off with that bauble and throw it underfoot. Catherine, I charge thee tell these headstrong women what duty they do owe their lords and husbands.
Come, you're mocking. We will have no telling.
Come on, I say. And first begin with Hortensio's wife.
She shall not.
I say she shall. And first begin with her.
Unknit that threatening, unkind brow, and dart not scornful glances from those eyes to wound thy lord, thy king, thy governor. It blots thy beauty, as frosts do bite the mead. A woman moved is like a fountain troubled, muddy, ill-seeming, thick. bereft of beauty. Thy husband is thy lord, thy life, thy keeper, thy head, thy sovereign, one that cares for thee, and for thy maintenance, commits his body to painful labor, both by sea and land, to watch the night in storms, the day in cold, whilst thou lie warm at home, secure and safe, and craves no other tribute at thy hands but love, fair looks, and true obedience. Too little payment for so great a debt. Such duty as the subject owes the prince, even such a woman oweth to her husband. And when she is forward, peevish, sullen, sour, what is she but a foul contending rebel and graceless traitor to her loving lord? Why are our bodies soft and weak and smooth, unapt to toil and trouble in the world, but that our soft conditions and our hearts should well agree with our external parts? Come, come, you forward and unable worms. My mind hath been as big as one of yours. My heart is great. My reason, haply more. To bandy word for word and frown for frown. But now I see our lances are but straws. Our strength is weak. Our weakness, past compare. Place your hands below your husband's foot. In token of which duty, if he please. My hand is ready. May it do the need.
Come on and kiss me, Kate. 'Twas I won the wager, though you hit the white. And being winner, God give you all good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight marks the close of our present Shakespearean series. I wish to thank our unseen audience for the many encouraging and stimulating responses we have received from them. Miss Barry and I will be back early in September to present for you two modern productions, first Animal Kingdom and second Accent on Youth. I'm very glad of this opportunity to thank the extremely talented actors and actresses who participated in this series with us to make it a success. It's been a delight to work with them. I'm deeply grateful to Mr. Forrest Barnes, who so intelligently accomplished the difficult feat of convincing Shakespeare. I'm further appreciative of the brilliant cooperation of Mr. Will Pryor, the musical director and the orchestra, whose work has been such an integral part of this entertainment. I also wish to express my wholehearted thanks for the skilled assistance of Mr. John Swallow and Mr. Marvin Young of the National Broadcasting Company in Hollywood for their splendid work as directors of this series. If our collective efforts have helped to increase interest in Shakespeare, we are all, I can assure you, most, most gratified. Thank you again, and good night.
The National Broadcasting Company has deemed it a great honor to present Mr. John Barrymore in the sixth and final play of the current series of streamlined Shakespearean dramas. Next week, at this same time, a series will start and continue for 4 weeks, featuring plays never before heard on the air by Eugene O'Neill. The first will be Beyond the Horizon, starring Helen Hayes. Tonight, Mr. Barrymore was heard as Petruchio in Shakespeare's most famous domestic comedy, The Taming of the Shrew. Ably assisting Mr. Barrymore was Miss Elaine Barry in the role of Catherine the Shrew, Henry Hunter as Hortensio, Hans Conried as Lucentio, Hanley Stafford, Grimio, Nancy Leach, Bianca, Vinton Haworth, Tranio, Russell Simpson, Batista, Miles Mander, Grumio, Lou Merrill, the Tailor, Buddy Edwards, Biondello. The adaptation of tonight's play was by Forrest Barnes in collaboration with Mr. Barrymore. The orchestra was under the direction of Will Pryor and narrations by Gain Whitman. This series of plays by the immortal Bard of Avon have been produced in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company.
Streamline Shakespeare came to you over the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
And that concludes this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program with yours truly, John Lovering. This podcast originates on SoundCloud.com, but can also be heard on iTunes and Google Play. Just go to iTunes or Google Play and search for Heirloom Radio. That's Heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, Radio. I also invite you to visit my Heirloom Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/heirloomradio. And be sure to check out my ever-growing list of old radio programming from every genre, from musicals to quiz shows and everything in between. And please tell your friends about Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. And I thank you for listening. Stay safe and be well.